All right, I'm going to start the music because we can do that. Hello, welcome to the Sprocket Podcast, where we are simplifying the good life. My name is Brock Dennis.
And I'm Aaron Flores, broadcasting from the People's Republic of Portland, nestled in the heart of Cascadia.
We are the show that brings you somewhat irreverent conversations about the intricacies of thinking locally with a global perspective and enjoying the best that life has to offer along the way.
Covering day-to-day life, food, alcohol, bicycles and alternative transportation. Something, 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 something.
Whatever you want, man. This is the part that you own.
This is the part that I'm supposed to own, huh?
Oh, yeah.
And today, something else.
We're also in the room with Christopher and Aaron Delaney from Casper, Wyoming. It's good to see both of you here. Thank you for joining us.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And, well, before we get into what you guys are going to tell us a little bit, because you are one of the only car-less couples or car-free couples, people that live life without a car in Wyoming, probably.
Intentionally. There may
yes.
be unintentional.
There are probably others. So you guys are here. And we taped a show last week, and then it turned out you guys are in town. So we're having you in to speak in person. As I mentioned before we started the show, the audio quality will be much better. So thank you for coming. It's good to see you.
Absolutely, yeah. Thanks for having us.
And Aaron.
Yes, sir.
You got a Fenimans number one.
Yes, I got a Fenimans Cherry Tree Cola. Fenimans has been pretty good about bringing out really odd sodas.
They've been on their A game for I think, many episodes now.
Yeah.
Have you Fenimans like 4 or 5 times in a row?
No.
Okay.
Not in a row, anyways.
Okay.
I think I like everything they've produced so far, except for that dandelion burdock.
Oh, right.
That was disgusting.
You know, I looked up burdock after that, because burdock is an interesting thing.
It's like a medicinal root or something?
Yeah, pretty much. And it's, I don't know, it's got a weird history. So
It grows up on Tabor.
Does it?
Yeah.
Oh, Mount Tabor?
Yeah, foraged.
In Portland.
Yeah, foraged with a friend of mine. We got some and we went to his house, fried it up.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So you have experience with burdock.
I wouldn't say that. I've been exposed to it. and it's raw.
Wait, you fried it up?
He did.
How does that work?
He just put it in a pasta. Yeah. I don't know.
Huh.
Hmm.
It was interesting enough. I mean,
fascinating.
It tastes like a carrot.
It did not taste like a carrot when I drank it in soda form.
So it's like a root. But carrot juice doesn't really taste like a carrot either.
This is true.
So it would stand to reason that burdock juice
does not taste like burdock.
That's my guess.
All right. I'm going up Tabor.
Okay.
I'm going to get me some.
You might need a guide. It was real elusive. We had to lift up some branches and move some leaves.
Can you recommend any burdock guides here in town?
Yeah, my friend Paul.
Okay.
He's the guy who showed me. So
okay, sounds good.
We were walking down, over on Mount Tabor today, and he just reached up and pulled something off a tree, and he's like, well, it's hanging over the sidewalk, so we can eat it.
Fantastic.
All right.
And it was terrible.
Wait, it was terrible.
It
was so bad.
Is that one of the rules of foraging? Like, if it hangs over the sidewalk, it's okay to eat?
That's what he said, and that's one of the things I love about Portland, folks know that rule, and everybody's cool with it.
That seems slightly dicey to me. Because there are a lot of things that could hang over a sidewalk and not be okay.
Well, he meant it's okay with the homeowners.
Oh.
For us to take fruit off of their tree.
Yeah, legally speaking.
There's limits there.
Yeah. Okay, I thought you meant
not that anything that hangs over a sidewalk is edible.
On the other side of the fence is poison oak. Over here, it's a tasty, tasty treat.
We magically transformed.
We were gleaning. It was
exactly. No, that's cool. That's cool. I misunderstood the application of the principle. Well, Aaron, you had a chain snap on you.
Ka-snap!
Yeah, this is interesting to me. I don't know any more than this.
It is the worst feeling you've ever had on a bicycle.
Yeah?
Going up Mount Tabor, of course.
Wait, is it the worst feeling because like it also combines other bad feelings?
No, it's just that sudden... Because you've got all this pressure going on, you know, your crank. And then all of a sudden that there's no tension whatsoever.
So right.
Your foot just, you know... spins.
Uh-huh.
And
what I'm thinking is the associated spin of the foot physically moves you into a position where you're going to be hitting other parts of your anatomy into like
right. So you've got that physical sense, so you've got the physics of the matter.
Okay, yeah.
And then you've got the physiological response of like, you know, the adrenaline going off, the panic of like, oh shit, I'm going to fall off my bike. Oh shit, I broke my bike.
Right, right. It's all happening at once.
Yeah. It's like, so I described this to Adele. You know how you're like climbing stairs, say like in the dark or you're not paying attention and you reach the top, but you still think there's one more step.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
so
yeah, totally.
So you do that step and then totally. Find out like, oh shit. It's kind of like that times 50. You know?
Okay.
So yeah. You have like seriously, I was nauseous for a real long time after it snapped. And, like,
so here's what I was getting at. What did you hit yourself in the nuts?
I did not okay. hit myself in the nuts.
Okay.
I,
yet you were still nauseous.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No, it was just the whole physiological
I
response
see.
To it. It
was, right.
It was a full body like kind of thing. Like yeah. all my muscles tense yeah. up. And, but yeah, walked it over to Oregon Bike Shop okay. on 80th and Stark.
It's your bike shop of choice, closest to you.
It is, yeah, yeah. They're like my mechanic of choice. You know, I would like to go to Velocolt to be my mechanic, but it's kind of out of my way, and it would just be an excuse to hang out at Velocolt, and I don't really
oh, sure.
need an excuse. I can just hang out there.
You know, I would like to take my bike to Velocolt, except I just haven't yet.
Oh.
So I have no excuse.
So anyways, Jim at Oregon Bike Shop totally hooked me up. New cassette, new chain. He said like both were just torn up, which I think, well, the chain I got new, but the cassette was like a couple of years old when I got it.
Okay. So. Yeah. And cassettes don't last as long as you'd like them to, I guess.
No. I mean, it all depends on, you know, how many miles and how hard you're riding, you know,
yes.
if you're going up a hill in a hard gear, you're going to wear your cassette out a little bit faster. You
so
know,
cross country touring.
Yeah.
And, or country ride in the city.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or the Ronde.
And then he mentioned, and I'm sure like bike aficionados or, you know, gear heads that listen will already know this. So it's probably redundant information, but
I love redundancy. I really love redundancy.
Do you love redundancy?
I do love redundancy.
he mentioned, like, when you have a worn cassette, it's going to wear out your chain faster.
Yeah, yeah, totally. And I always thought there was the other way around, that the chain would stretch out and then it would wear out your cassette. Maybe it's both.
Well, it doesn't stretch so much as just wears.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, basically, on an atomic level, you know, pieces of it is wearing off.
Right.
You
know? As those nucleons and protons are orbiting each other. And
exactly.
Those are not the correct terms.
No,
I didn't
not.
Do well in science.
but yeah, so like as your chain links, you know, get at least atomically smaller, you know, it wears out your cassette further. And
yeah.
So then those grooves get deeper and deeper.
Right.
So he was saying it's good to change your chain like, I don't know, like once every 6 months, depending on how you ride it, of course.
Okay.
And then, you know, as you change your chain, check your cassette, and it will extend the life of your cassette the more you change your chain out.
Right. Yeah. Which is nice if you could make that happen. I'm terrible about that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is like maybe the second chain I've ever put on my bike.
Basically, every time I change my chain, I change my cassette as well. So
yeah, and that's pretty good too. If you know you ride it, you know, for a long time on the same chain and cassette.
Mountain passes, man. They'll wear your gear like
totally.
Crazy. Yeah. Well, I'm glad that you made it out alive.
Yeah, I took a picture of the cassette though, because it's the cleanest cassette I've ever seen, and it's probably never going to be that clean ever again.
Like right now, your bike is a shiny. Well, it's all
in that
dark
one spot, anyways.
With a shiny star in the middle of the back wheel.
Yeah.
Okay.
Have you guys ever talked about cassettes before?
I don't think we have.
Not really.
It's
at least
the Sprocket
not a
podcast.
It is.
And I'm just thinking, like, the irony is I've listened to a lot of them, and I haven't ever heard you guys talk about.
I don't think
Sprocket.
We're as big a gearheads as
so
at least the name would imply. Yeah.
Womp womp. Yeah, yeah. We really don't. Yeah. I've actually tried to avoid it in some ways because I don't want to, like, I don't want to bog it down or make
it's kind
it
of
like
inside baseball.
Less interesting for people who don't understand the mechanics. But Christopher, are you a mechanic? And I'm calling you Christopher because I called you Chris earlier. But that's not your preferred name. Your preferred name is your whole name.
Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But is that even your preferred name? Because you were saying you're going to change that.
It's,
so.
It's not my preferred name, actually. Right. Yeah.
What would you call yourself instead?
Aaron's shaking her head.
Let's just go ahead and announce this. I really want to change my name to Eustace Cornelius.
You heard it here first, folks.
All right.
Yep.
Aaron doesn't like that, but I feel
I like the name. I just think it's weird to change your name at this point in your life.
As I've grown, the name has not grown with me.
Yeah. Uh-huh. But yeah, it stays the same length, same syllables,
exactly,
same consonants.
See, I think you used to go by Chris, but now it's like in attempts to change your name, you're going with Christopher.
To give it new meaning, I tried that, and it didn't work.
Okay, so the full name.
I think that's a common thing, like Steve goes by Steven or whatever, you know.
And then at some point, does he decide Steven doesn't really work?
I'm sure.
Yeah.
But do you change it? I mean.
And I think if we were to change it, this would be the time. You know, okay. It's like.
You mean in like a public media appearance?
Well, yeah.
So not legally, just like in practicality from henceforth.
Well, we have a kid. Eustace. And she doesn't know what my name is yet.
Right.
And so I want to change it.
She's a blank slate. Yeah, yeah, this is a great idea.
Tabula rasa. We're going to figure this out.
Wait. So is she going to call you by your first name when she gets older?
It's possible.
Okay.
Sure.
Yeah.
I'm open to it.
Sure.
But I don't want to confuse her with that after she already knows what my first name used to be.
You know? Yeah. Okay.
We've never talked about this before.
Sure. Well, that's kind of like the best part about what we're doing right now is that we get to hash all those things out.
Yeah.
And you only hear it here. That's really true.
That's true.
Yeah.
But this isn't the official rollout. We're just working through the logistics.
Okay. Right. All right. Okay. So consider this the soft open.
Ooh. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. If you want to call me that from now on, I mean,
I think Christopher would be easier for me
to
remember.
Yeah, I think you should stay with Christopher for the rest.
just for logistical purposes. Not that I don't like the other choice. Let's see. Where are we? We have beer.
You guys have beer.
And you brought this in, Aaron.
Yes.
So what's the story on this?
So this is a creme brulee stout by Southern Tier. Some friends of mine that I live with, or one of my friends that I live with, tried it up in Seattle and said, oh, you got to put this on the podcast. It's really awesome. What's the alcohol content on there?
It says 9.5 on the bottle here.
Right. That's huge.
Which is a lot.
Yeah.
A stout of great contention, they say.
He said it was really sweet and very creamy, but, you know, you guys would be the ones to confirm or deny that, I guess.
Yeah.
Is that the one you tried, babe?
Yeah.
Oh,
they're both the creme brulee.
Yeah, you know, it says here on the side it has lactose sugar, so I wonder if this is kind of like a milk stout.
Yes.
Like lactic acid,
that's
I know
what
they use for the milk
stout. He called
stout.
It a milk stout.
But I am a huge fan of milk stouts.
Okay.
And I'm not lactose intolerant. So I can have it. Yeah. Well, I'm very excited. It also says to serve it at 42 degrees Fahrenheit. I'm not sure if we're doing that well or not. But
it's close.
It's cool by me. I'm very.
Yeah.
I was worried with a name like creme brulee would be too sweet.
Right.
But it's treated me okay so far. It is very sweet.
Sure.
Yeah. And did we tell you guys there's banana bread there? This is a special thing. This is not decorative bread. It's true. That'd be great if decorative bread was like a tradition that people
you know,
had
like how
in their
they have
houses.
Like plastic fruits.
People have
sometimes
apples.
My mom has fake fruit, and I almost broke my tooth one time biting into it because it looked so real.
Oh yeah. So it wasn't wax. It was actually like plastic or ceramic or something.
I'm not sure what it was.
Enough to break a tooth.
It was. I didn't break the tooth, but I could have.
Almost.
Yeah.
Okay. That's kind of freaky.
It was horrible.
That's no good.
Yeah. The idea of fake fruit just...
What's worse than expecting to bite into food and getting plastic?
Seriously. except maybe biting into what you think is food and getting poison.
Well, okay.
But plastic is a close second.
Plastic is close to poison.
Yeah.
It's right there. Yeah.
Well, we should talk about you guys because I just realized we're going to spiral off into all kinds of other things. Suffice it to say, the banana bread is there to be eaten. So, I mean, you know, feel free if you want to during, maybe, well, I don't know. You could do it during the recording if you want to. Or we could do it after the recording once the microphones are off.
Do whatever the hell you want.
Yeah. Listen to him. And also, for the remainder of the interview, I should refer to you, sir, as Flores.
Correct, yes.
And you as Aaron, because your names are spelled differently, but they sound exactly the same. They're homonyms, I believe.
Homophones?
They sound alike.
Yes.
Yeah.
Same.
I think they sound almost the same. Depends on pronunciation. There's the E and the two A's.
So there is a subtle difference.
Yeah.
There's Aaron.
Uh-huh.
That was mine.
Okay.
And there's Aaron. That was with an E.
So it's basically the length of the vowel.
Yeah, that first beginning vowel there.
Yeah. Yeah. I think when I pronounce your name, I almost do like an Aaron.
Yeah, yeah. Most people when they see it.
Yeah.
Not necessarily when they hear it.
In the back of the mouth, like the tongue depresses a little bit and the cavity gets bigger, and I have a different vowel sound for your name than I would have for your name, Aaron.
Mm-hmm. I like how it sounds.
Okay.
When you say his name.
Just because I don't think it's...
Do you want to change your name too?
I was thinking about it just now, actually.
Wow,
all of a sudden.
We could just go to two A's because, I mean, that's real low key.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll sell you my name, you know. Yeah. I'll sell it cheap too.
Well, straight across trade, but then we'd have the same issues.
True.
Just in reverse. You guys have been living car-free now for how long?
Something around 8 months, I think.
Okay. Nice. And what's the general consensus so far?
I love it.
Yeah, it's been awesome.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Depends on the week, of course. Like, depends on your experience or whatnot, but...
No. Yeah, I mean, it's not that really brings us down. It's more just being in a location away from family and kind of life situation.
But, okay.
I actually think that's kind of when our spirits... We just were kind of struggling the last year. And then the night we decided to sell our car, like everything changed. Our attitude and outlook on life. And I think it's been an awesome 8 months.
So
I've only had one day where I was like, this is all, and it was the windiest day ever.
Okay.
But then like 10 minutes later, I was fine. I was like, okay, it's still awesome. But
yeah. To put that in context, it was about a 50-mile-an-hour headwind.
No, that's insane. Yeah.
It's not even joking. Like, we were coming back from a doctor's appointment for Aaron on this road, and she was riding behind me. I was riding in front of her. She was screaming at me, and I couldn't hear her.
Wow.
Because he had my sunglasses, and all the wind and dust and tumbleweeds are going everywhere, and I couldn't even see.
In your
face,
yeah.
So I was screaming at him to stop so that I could get my glasses. Yeah,
it's pretty crazy.
That's intense. That would be demoralizing for anybody, I would think. Okay, but generally, kind of, like you feel better
once you get there, though. Uh-huh. You can raise a fist of triumph.
Oh yeah,
you can.
Hell yeah,
it you
is
can.
Unreal. I rode to work the other day in one of the worst snowstorms Wyoming has ever had.
Okay,
and when I got to
maybe
work,
Casper has ever had.
Yeah, Casper, Wyoming. Yeah. It's all the same.
Casper is Wyoming. Yeah.
Makes a difference there.
You gotta be careful. We're going to offend Steve in Wyoming. So.
Clarify. Oh, yeah.
Sorry, Steve.
I think he's in Sheridan.
I got to work. You know in Fantastic Mr. Fox where he does
the
pump fist?
Yeah, out of the ground.
Yeah, and then the wolf does it back to him. I did that. And I got to work and I was so excited. No one replied. But
right.
I could
imagine.
There
wasn't a little fist coming out of the snow or something?
Yeah, I could imagine if there were a wolf, he would have...
Right on.
Right.
But
here.
You were able to express yourself. You were able to express this exuberance.
I let out a primal yell. For
perfect.
Sure.
Yeah. Perfect. So your commute is, what is it?
12 miles one way.
12 miles one way, which is a long ways for a lot of people. My commute used to be 14. Now it's 8, and it still feels long. Mm-hmm. But you're doing 12 miles each way, each way, in whatever weather.
Sure, yeah.
So you just cycled through, the worst snowstorm ever?
No, it wasn't. I mean, the snow wasn't that bad. It was, I think, more that trees fell and knocked out power. I don't know. I don't know why that was a bad snowstorm. It didn't really feel like it.
Okay.
But
you didn't have trees across your path?
There were, yeah.
Okay.
But you just weren't
reading
it. I don't know.
Because that doesn't happen here very often. That's intense.
Yeah, the wind was blowing like 30 miles an hour and knocked a bunch of trees, and the snow was wet and heavy, and it was really weird. I got to work and all the power was out.
Yeah. And you work at the airport.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I work at the airport. I work in aviation.
Cool. What's it like at the airport when the winds are like that? Like, is it kind of chaotic? Are people like nervous or whatever? Or maybe they've seen it before?
Well, most of the guys who fly in and out of there are really used to it.
Okay.
And they've been doing it for a long time. So most of the time it's a direct headwind.
Sure.
And that really doesn't affect you too much. It's when it kind of gets... off the same heading as the runway.
Right, because then it makes it a lot harder to take off.
Yeah, then things get a little hairy.
Okay. Nice. Well, that's an impressive commute, and doubly impressive because of the location and your situation. So what's Casper like as a town?
Has
It's tiny. It's about 70, 80,000 people.
Okay, yeah.
I think you can get from one side of, is it like a 10-mile stretch, really? That's kind of the whole town
from
one side to the other.
Yeah, I remember we biked through Casper on our trip last summer. Summer of 2012. So there's that nice path along is the Platte that goes through town.
Mm-hmm. We use that a lot. It's real close to where we live.
Yeah. And that's the part. And then the theater downtown, which we saw Moonrise Kingdom at. And there's like a great Western wear store there.
Mm-hmm.
There's a hat that I wanted, actually.
Lou Talbert's?
Yeah, okay, that sounds right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was this big, like, I don't know, like Spanish villain style hat. It was like, you know, 4 feet wide and 3 feet tall or something like that. And I really wanted to get that, but I couldn't justify buying it on the bike trip.
Did you feel awkward walking in there?
Well, I'm not a cowboy, so yes.
Yeah, we always feel awkward going in there.
It's really fun, though. I think it's cool.
Yeah.
But it's like legit.
They do sell a lot of the things that I like to wear. Like, for example, Levi's 517s, I'm a fan of. That's the polyester cowboy pant, which I'm wearing now. And then the kind of the cowboy cut, like snap pearl shirt or whatever.
Which you're also wearing.
I'm also wearing now. Yeah. So that's a good dependable place to find, like any sort of Western wear store is a good place to find, the sorts of things that I would like to wear.
Where's your 10-gallon hat?
See, that's the thing I don't have. I've never owned one, never really worn one. I think I tried it out one time and I felt like a poser because like I don't have any relationship with cows. Like there's no, I eat cheese. That's pretty much it.
Well, and really let's be honest, neither do the people in Wyoming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. But they're closer to them. They're closer to more of them.
That's debatable.
They're closer to the culture that wears cowboy hats.
Yeah, but not that raises cows.
Okay.
They're at least on the plains. There's maybe a higher likelihood that they will be on a horse doing something.
They have a horse on their license plate.
There you go.
That's about as close as most folks get.
That's all you need, I think. If you live in Wyoming, you have carte blanche to wear like a cowboy hat whenever you want to.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
You could take that.
I was going to say, take that home with you.
Tell them I said it was okay. Yeah.
I want to wear one. I want to fashion like a chin strap so it won't blow off.
Okay, there we go.
But we can get into that on tips.
Okay, sounds good.
I want to share some tips.
I'm bookmarking that now. Do you want to do tips now or do you want to do later? I feel like we should go over the story a bit more.
Yeah,
because you guys decided to get rid of your car altogether. Mm-hmm. So how did this come about?
It was born out of a conversation, I think, in most part about how can we love our neighbors better,
mm-hmm.
and working through different things in our society, asking the question, like, what barriers are there to loving our neighbors, or in what ways are people around us making these community connections, and how can we make it more rich and better quality?
Okay. So it's about connecting with people in some ways.
Sure. Yeah. For us, it was about relationship, and it was an experiment to see if we get rid of this, how does it change the quality of our relationships?
Was there a duration for this experiment? Was there?
No.
No, okay.
We're just
kind of open-ended. Mm-hmm. A test tube with no bottom.
Sure.
Sure, sure.
Okay.
So how has it changed your relationship with those around you?
I think it's been good. I think it has been better. You get to know, I'm a huge fan of Wendell Berry, and I think that was a lot of the process of starting this. He talks a lot about relation to place.
He's a writer that doesn't have a phone or a car or whatever. Does he have a car?
Yeah.
He doesn't use one much.
Well, when he was interviewed on Bill Moyers last week or 2 weeks ago, it showed a picture of him driving a truck through his property. So
okay.
He probably does have a truck.
Yeah, but he's all about like farming and simplicity and stuff.
Yeah, and in his books, I think one of the ones I recently read when we were working through this was Sex, Freedom, Economy, and Community.
Okay. That was one that former co-host Brandon Rhodes liked a lot, I think.
Yeah, I might be mixing the order of that title. But in any case, he talks about the connection with the land. And as you take away different technological barriers that we have between us and the idea of place, the quality of your relationship with the people around you and the land increases. And that's what we wanted to try.
So, there we go. Yeah, and so people next door, you might bump into them more if you're not riding around in a metal box, basically.
And you notice a lot too. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of folks in this city probably get that.
It's one of my favorite parts about being on a bike is noticing things that I wouldn't otherwise notice.
And when you wave to somebody, if they wave back and look like they want to chat, it's not hard to just pull over and say hi mm-hmm. or whatnot. And it opens up a lot of opportunity to remove those barriers in our community.
Intriguing. This reminds me a lot of when Dan Christensen was on last and talking about his relationship with walking.
Yeah, walking speed as opposed to driving speed.
Yeah.
Oh, and Beth's conversation about that. Do you guys remember what Beth said about that?
No.
Which one? I remember she talked about like being in Kansas.
Which is the human speed of
things. Oh, yeah.
She was walking around.
Right.
She recommended
this,
a book.
This
that
opened
I,
a bit of a can of worms.
Yeah, Beth
for
Hammond.
Us, but, yeah. No, now I remember. But yeah.
She was really inspiring about that. And I think that's something. Walking to me supersedes biking.
Uh huh.
And if I could walk somewhere, I'd rather do that.
If you could walk 12 miles to work, you'd do it.
Yeah.
Maybe.
If I could, I would. You know, if it was.
But not around trees.
If it worked.
If they blow down.
Well, yeah, that doesn't happen that often.
Okay, I mean, all right.
I'm not worried about a tree falling on me.
There was 3 months that we, when we decided to sell our car, that we had to wait to get our cargo bike. And so we each have had a bike, but with our daughter Octave, I wasn't able to get around with her.
Sure.
So I was walking
classy
everywhere.
Name for a daughter, by the way.
Yeah.
I like that.
It's an old family name.
Nice.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. I think I definitely walked more than Christopher because he still would, you know, commute to work on his bike. But yeah, for 3 months I walked and it would take me an hour and a half to get to the grocery store and then maybe 2 hours to get home because, you know, with the groceries and with her. And that's when, you know, what you guys were just talking about, just like I appreciated the chance to just like my mind slow down. My body can't move. My mind can't move faster than my body and vice versa. Like I just felt like super connected and then very in the moment, you know, I'm processing just what happened at the grocery store and who I met and I'm not rushing on to the next thing. And then I get home and I'm home. And so, yeah, I think the same thing with a bike too, but yeah, even more so walking.
Yeah. An hour and a half is a long time to process your thoughts and to connect with like whatever you're traveling through.
Yeah.
But our daughter really enjoyed it too. I mean, she
she
really loved it, and she'll ask us now. She just loves to get in the bike. She wants to go walking. She wants to be outside.
Right.
So she's happiest already, when we're
I think that's one of the things we want to teach her as well. So it's having that connection is really important to us.
Uh huh.
So we're starting to see the impact on her as well, and she really enjoys it. It's something that she's always excited to do.
That's really cool. So having a kid and also not having a car in Portland, that's just barely doable. I think like there are a bunch of folks, many of whom we've already spoken to on the show, that are kind of pushing the borders of that and like making it really possible and like expanding the story for other people saying, oh, other people do this. It's okay. In Casper, Wyoming, I'm guessing that's not the case. Like people would say, hey, how is it at all possible for you to not have a car in this city? So do you get that question? And if so, how do you respond?
Yeah, I got that question really bad. Last week I was riding with Octave on the bike and someone almost hit us and, we ended up, this happens all the time. I started deciding this week to start reporting these things to the police. And I took a video of this individual when I confronted them and they said that if I really cared for my daughter, I wouldn't be putting her in that situation.
Uh-huh.
And it was really interesting because this happened at work a couple weeks ago too. Someone almost hit, one of my coworkers almost hit me on the way in. And I told him how much that hurt me. And he said, well, if it really, if you really cared about your own safety, you wouldn't ride in. And that's victim blaming.
Yeah.
It's really strange that people would make that argument. And so, yeah, people do think that's irresponsible. Folks around us talk behind our back and make it sound like we're being irresponsible for not having a car and for transporting Octave around like that. But
and some people may have a bad attitude about it, but I also believe that half those people really care about us and genuinely are like, this is weird. Like, this
it's
is
out of
not
their purview.
Safe.
It's like, out of
and
their
then,
experience.
Yeah. And so sure. I don't think it's like, I mean, maybe half and half, but I do think people just think it's so unsafe to put your kid in that sort of.
So it's like bewilderment from your friends and anger from your enemy or strangers or whatever. or something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
Is that fair? Or yeah, I don't want to color it too darkly, but I also think, like, especially given the context, like I think it's probably the same all across rural America. Like, there's just a lot of people that would consider that a truck is your best way to get around this part of town.
Yes. So the positive side of it is that in Wyoming, they already have this, even without intending to, they have a strong sense of place, and it's so small, they've already got the local aspect of it. So it's not very spread out. There's no suburbs to move through. I mean, they are starting to develop small suburbs, but they're already within the city limits.
Yeah, Casper is a pretty insular place. I mean, there's not a lot of sprawl there.
Yeah, so it's really not that difficult when it comes to getting around on bikes, getting around with kids on bikes. I mean, there's a decent road system there that's a grid. So if you come from a larger city that has a grid, it's real easy to navigate, you know, north, south, east, west, basically. And there's not a lot of variation from that. So we spent a lot of time looking on, especially when I was planning my commute, looking on Google Maps, developing a game plan to find smaller roads, to find lower speed limits and things like that. And I would highly encourage folks, if they were thinking about maybe riding their commute to work on a bike, don't ride your drive, obviously, and spend a lot of time working on things like Street View, coming up with something, and then test ride it on an off day. That's what I did. I made a couple friends there in Wyoming. I said, hey, would you mind riding this route that I found to work and see what you think about it? Do you think this is safe? Are these streets good? Will they plow these? And a couple friends rode it with me on, you know, on a Saturday, said it was great. And that's kind of how I found that route and started commuting to work there.
Yeah. The question, do they plow this street, is that's a good question to ask. It's not one I would think of, because in Oregon, no one ever plows anything. Mm-hmm. So,
but they have a stratification of streets that they plow.
Okay.
You know, starting overnight, they'll start on the big ones and then work their way. So that is a consideration for me. Like, when it snows, I kind of have to change my route a little bit.
Uh-huh.
But it's still not that bad.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's fantastic. What kind of bike are you riding, Christopher?
So I'm riding probably the worst bike for the situation, but it's awesome. I love it.
Awesome.
I'm riding an All City Mr. Pink.
Really?
It's just a steel road bike.
Uh-huh.
I've got 25C tires, Schwalbe Marathons, which I love.
Schwalbe Marathon. We swear by those.
Gosh.
Yeah.
I've got over 6,000 miles on them, and I've never had a flat.
6,000.
Yeah,
that's pretty good.
And if I had a flat on it, I don't care. Like, after $6,000, like, they still look brand new.
Right, right.
I have one of Lane's Setma 5-rail racks.
Okay.
On the front.
Yeah, this is Lane Keggy from Setma.
Yeah, and then
former guest from last summer.
Threw some fenders on it. I made it a single speed. My ratio is 39:19.
Okay.
Super easy.
Do you find the single speed works well for your situation?
It works a lot better.
Okay.
But I had
not fixed though.
No, it's not fixed. I had a bunch of gears on it, and in the snow, that just got real messy.
Okay.
Things would freeze up, and there's debris and all this. I went single speed, and I love it.
Yeah, derailleurs get messy from time to time. Mm-hmm. So,
well, without snow, it's not that big of a deal.
Sure.
But once you add that into the mix, it just gets funky.
That makes sense, yeah. Okay, yeah.
But we also have a cargo bike. We have a Metrofeets.
Yeah.
Erin really loves that. It fits her really well.
And Erin, is that your primary?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
So I can go everywhere with Octave because I'm with her.
There we go.
Most all the time. So, yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah. It comes with a canopy too, which is.
Yeah. The canopy is a great idea.
Awesome. Yeah. It's
really going to say, like, how are the winters with the kid? But if you've got the canopy over that.
Yeah. And I actually, on a really cold day, went to the grocery store a few weeks ago and kind of like peeked in to get. You know, to get her out, and it was toasty in there. I was surprised because I was kind of worried. It was like the first really cold day, and I was curious how it would be. So, and then even just when it's windy, just so things aren't like flying in her face. Even if it's not super cold, we still put it on.
Totally.
Her, so,
yeah, that's great.
Yeah, they've got that nailed. I mean, I think it's Black Designs.
Sounds familiar.
I want to say they're in town here. They make bags and stuff like that, and then they started getting into
black
the canopies.
As opposed to Black Star.
It's different in Black Star.
Okay.
It's BLAQ.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah. I know who they are.
They made
yeah.
great stuff, but I want to say that their canopy is quality. And I think they do it for a lot of the cargo bikes. So the Setma, Largo, Margo, they make them for that. They make them for the Metrofeets.
They got one tailored for every kind of a kid hauler, basically.
Yeah, and it's nice. Really well designed. So they've thought it out. It's really nice.
That's great. Well, very cool. Do you guys want to do tips now? Because tips for how to ride. Basically, like, I'm thinking rural America, but maybe, like, any place that doesn't have, like, the facilities of, say, Minneapolis or Portland or
absolutely.
Or what have you. What do you guys find is good to know about, and what do you find works well? You mentioned, like, route finding and single speed in bad weather and that sort of thing, but what else?
I was listening to the Portland Afoot podcast. Do you guys listen to that?
Oh. I do, religiously.
Last week, they said something that it was really funny because I had come to this.
Oh, yeah. We should put a link up to that because they just came out with their rural riding thing.
Yeah. And a couple of the tips that they gave were really interesting with regard to American flags.
Yes.
Do you remember this?
Yes.
So I'm a huge fan. I don't do a lot of organized sports. I know you guys don't do any pretty much.
I don't chase balls.
Yeah.
Sorry.
But I love the U.S. men's soccer team.
Oh, yeah.
And when they play, I wear my national team jersey that day, and I'm a part of the American Outlaws. So they sent me one of those little scarves, like the yeah, handkerchief yeah. thing, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I'm also a ginger. So when I ride in the summer, I have to put like a bandana under my helmet and cover sure. all exposed skin so I don't get just fried.
You're red-haired and fair-skinned.
Yeah, so I just came to this by accident one day. I wore my American flag bandana.
Oh.
And all of a sudden, instead of getting flicked off and honked at, people were waving at me.
No kidding.
It was
That's
weird.
Hilarious.
Okay, yeah.
The whole time I'd been there, it's just animosity on the road. One day I wear this American flag and all of a sudden I'm getting a different response.
Right, right.
So I started testing it back and forth. Like I'd wear like an orange bandana, flicked off and yelled at.
There you go.
I wear the American flag, waves. You know, honks and waves.
There's another experiment with like a control factor.
Sure.
You can just kind of say, but what's my baseline and what changes when I change this?
Mm-hmm. And so I'm considering getting a full out American flag cycling everything.
Like yeah.
arm
like
things.
Like U.S.
jackets.
Olympic American.
Exactly.
U.S. Postal
jersey
Service.
Jersey and everything. Yeah, yeah.
Everything American flag and see how it changes. Because they mentioned this on their ride. When they were riding around Oregon, they put American flags out, and all of a sudden, people are super friendly.
Right.
People love it.
Right.
And I have a theory about this. In rural America, one of the things you'll hear a lot of time, when you want to start biking, it means something different in every culture.
Yeah. So, and you mentioned this to me, I think, when we were talking earlier, which I think it's fascinating.
Yeah. If you're in an African-American part of town, the bicycle represents something different to them than if you're in the young 20-something white part of town, the bicycle means something different to them. Or you're in the Hispanic part of town, it means something different to them. To each culture, the bicycle is going to represent something different. And so when it comes to rural America, one of the things that I've been hearing from folks, it has to do with they call it the Agenda 21 or MAP 21. It's this UN program that came out a couple years ago. That talks about looking into the future, how are we going to deal with climate change?
Okay.
And one of
which may or may not exist.
Sure, which may or may not exist. And, in any case, these folks think that bicycling was in this, and a lot of folks in rural America, you know, they're watching these rumor mill TV stations just spewing propaganda and lies on, you know, take your pick of anything news on
sure.
cable.
Sure.
Well, and
it's all
my experience
bullshit.
with rural America is if you mention the UN with anything,
yeah, oh yeah,
you know, it's you'll get some pretty negative reactions.
They're gonna slice your tires.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Good to know.
But in any case, that's what it means to them, that it's this fascist symbol of global control that they feel
one
is being,
world government. Yeah, 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 yeah.
But they literally think this, and they feel like it's being thrust upon them,
like one gear, one world.
Yeah,
or something like that.
Yeah, with Michael Jackson playing in the background.
Sure, there we go.
But But in any case, that's what they the bicycle represents to them, because that's their only interaction with it. They've seen on Fox News somebody talking about the bicycle initiative, and it's taking all the money away from our road development.
The bicycle is the new swastika, basically. Okay, interesting.
And so if you wear American flags, you're speaking right to their preconceived notion about what the bicycle means.
Yeah, and atoning for the fact that you're on a bike. Like, it's like, yeah, don't judge me. I'm not one of those crazy liberals, even if you are one of those crazy liberals. But
that's just a theory. I mean,
yeah. The image communicates something.
I think it's important.
Which is fascinating.
Yeah, find out what it means in your community. Uh-huh. You know, for us, mountain biking is huge in Casper.
Sure. And so knobby tires.
Yeah. And there's a lot of great people who do that, but it's primarily recreation.
It's a recreation, yes.
It's not transportation, but there is a convergence, and there's starting to be activity on both sides, meeting closer to the middle. So,
yeah, that's really interesting. Aaron, have you noticed any of this? Like, are you do you sport a flag when you're out as well?
I don't. Yeah.
But you want to.
I don't.
Does sporting a baby...
I think that's good enough.
Does it replace the flag in that case?
Kind of. I do think that I get a different reaction from people than Chris. I think just I'm not going anywhere far, or kind of I'm just going to the store or to a friend's house and wearing normal clothes and have a daughter. It's kind of like, oh, that's cute. You know, whereas like... Clearly, he's like in the, and I'm also not going to probably ride my bike the first day of a snowstorm because I don't have to. Just like stay in. Like I would, even if we had a car, probably wouldn't just go driving in the first day. But he,
it's a good day for 4
a.m. is like, 4 a.m. is heading to the airport. And so it's that's crazy, you know? So, no, I haven't really, we've definitely experienced like different reactions from, from people. Yeah.
You also mentioned earlier just like making nice with the cops and saying, hey, let's work together on safety.
Yeah. So I did that this week. This is the first time I've done it. Which
You didn't already tell the story just now, did you? Or like in the past hour?
No.
No. Okay. No, yeah. Let's talk about that, because this is a really interesting story. But,
yeah. So one of the other things I recommend is for folks to, wherever you are, if you're thinking about trying to bicycle on the roads for transportation, look at your laws first and find out what protection you have legally in your city. Do they have a furthest to the right law or a 3-foot passing law? Or, you know, I looked at the laws before, but I hadn't ever actually interacted with the police on this. And this week I mentioned that someone passed really close to Octave and I, put us in a weird situation with, you know, a handful of other cars around us. They were literally going a quarter of a mile down the road to turn right into a post office.
Right, right.
Completely unnecessary. And this happens all the time.
Like, you see that everywhere, all across the country.
Yeah. I'm going to a stoplight. Let me endanger your life.
Yeah.
The complete disregard for human life and the respect that we should have for each other that's missing is really sad to me. In any case, I decided in the short term, one of the best ways I could possibly handle this is to contact the police, call these folks in. And it was really cool what the police decided to do. The officer showed up at my house. I showed him a video that I had of me confronting the individual and what their response was. He said, well, let me run the plates. You know, I've already ID'd the individual from the video. I'll go to their house and educate them on what the law says.
And he brought this up. It wasn't like you were like, go read them the riot act or something. He was just like, hey, let me go talk to him and say, hey, this happened.
I don't want to take him to court.
Right, right.
I just want them to know that we're human beings. You know, we're legally protected under the law to use a bicycle for transportation on the road. And, you know, just wait. Yeah. Slow down.
Most people just don't know. I mean, not that that's an excuse.
Sure. But that's the case.
They just do not know.
Exactly.
And so what's the best way to educate them without confrontation
There's a prevailing, I think, just understanding that roads are for cars, and that's not necessarily the case.
Sure.
In actuality.
Yeah, absolutely. And so we do have protection under the law in Wyoming, and the police affirmed this. I told them how I ride. They said, okay, we think you're doing it right.
Uh-huh.
And they went and talked to him. And since I said, how would you like me to pursue this in the future? They said, well, it sucks, but just keep calling it in.
Yeah.
And we'll try to keep educating. And so in the meantime, I'm getting started in advocacy work.
Uh-huh.
And we're going to try to create an educational program for kind of a media blitz style. in Casper to let folks know that it's okay, that there are other people riding on the street and that they're going to be out there. We just need to respect each other, slow down. And the speed limit in town is 30 miles an hour.
Okay, yeah.
And getting past, you know, that's within a 15-mile-an-hour speed differential for me. Uh-huh. I feel totally comfortable with that.
Right, right. It's a lot better than, like, 50.
Yeah, well, most people drive 50 in the 30.
In the 30, okay.
This is another thing. So
Is it a newer speed limit? Like, has it been lowered recently?
No,
or
I think it's been that way for 50 years.
But people just drive 50.
Ill-enforced.
Yeah, it's ill-enforced. And I shared that with the police. I said, look,
yeah,
I would really appreciate it if you guys would start cracking down on the speed. And what the officer recommended was they were going to put an extra patrol on my commute.
Really?
Wow. And I was really, I was really impressed with that.
That's service, man. That's amazing.
It was really cool. And being in a rural area like that where I'm one of the only people, there's probably maybe 10 of us that are actually using a bike for transportation. And I'm definitely the only person riding out to the airport.
That's less than 1%, I think.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That's okay. Out of 80,000 people, yeah, there's 10 of us. And they're all wonderful people, you know? But they offered to add something to it. So I think there can really be a positive interaction between you and the police in your city if you can just branch out, ask them. I really regret that I waited so long to do it.
Yeah. Well, there's a certain, like, I don't have a really good trusting attitude towards police in my head.
Yeah.
And, I mean, maybe it's harder in a differently sized city. Like, maybe since I'm from a huge city, I distrust the police because so many bad things have happened here related to the police or whatever. But I don't know. I'd like to believe that the system works and that they're there for a reason, you know, to serve and protect. So, so that's fantastic.
It was real positive. And
yeah,
one of the other resources that I use all the time is the bike commuting subreddit.
Oh yeah.
If you guys,
you're talking
about
Reddit. Yeah. That's
it's,
I need to figure out how to use it. It's like, just like Twitter used to be like
I'm brand
new on
this.
How the hell does it work? Right. So, yeah.
I'm brand new with it. A coworker recommended it and I got on, he said, just find something you're interested in and subscribe to it.
Uh-huh.
So I did. It's r/bike commuting.
Okay.
And it's a bunch of folks from around the world. There was someone from Saudi Arabia saying, hey, I'm new to bike commuting. What do I need?
Sure.
Wow.
You're like, get some gloves.
Or some goggles. Yeah. I said goggles.
There we go. Yeah.
You know, you never know when you're going to get caught in a sandstorm.
Seriously.
But that's been a really important resource in our rural context, asking for advice. When I posted this police story on there and I got some responses back of folks saying they had the same experience in their rural context. Other folks said, I've dealt with the police and it sucked.
Sure.
So it can change place to place, but it's probably something important to at least know what legal protection you do have.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And that's a great place to start, is like knowing what your rights are, what your responsibilities are. That's
it determines your riding style.
Yeah. Yeah. For
sure. Cause I ride in the middle of the lane almost, exclusively,
which is pretty, that's pretty gutsy. For rural context, yeah.
But with the rear view mirror, it
yeah,
works.
And you mentioned this is a thing that was something else I had never thought about. I mean, call me stupid, but I don't ride with one, and I never considered that would be a useful thing.
Well, I started, and the one I ride with is the EVT. It's actually made in Vancouver.
Okay,
really cool guy.
Vancouver, BC.
Washington, Vantucky, I should say.
The small one.
Wow.
Yes. Okay, fascinating.
It's called Efficient Velo Tools. The guy makes them. It's this cool little thing that snaps onto your helmet. It's nice and big right there. And I started riding with that, and that really changed my riding style because I could see everything around me.
Yeah.
Without having to turn my head, especially in the wind, that makes a big difference.
Seriously, yeah.
But I use it as a communication tool with the folks behind me. I'll motion to them to move over and to slow down because a lot of folks don't know how to interact with a bicycle.
Right.
And it takes them about 30 seconds to realize that I can see them. They don't.
And if you
really confused,
if you can do like a nonverbal gesture, mm-hmm, that's not rude, that will communicate what you want them to know. That's very useful.
Yeah. And so when they get it, I'm watching their face. When they get it, I'll see it and I'll give them a thumbs up to let them know that's what I want you to do. And I can see you basically.
Yeah.
And it's really worked out well.
That's fascinating.
I motion, kind of move my hand up and down, motion for them to slow down, and then point over to the next lane to move over.
Yeah.
And then once they start drifting over into the other lane, I'll give them a thumbs up.
Basically, I've got to try this someday.
Or if they don't, you know, like, get out of the way. Like, so, it's not worth it, you know?
Yeah, and so some of the semis that drive on my street have just barreled straight ahead. Uh-huh. And that gives me a little bit of notice. So I've got maybe 15, 30 seconds where I can just get off the road.
Right.
Let them pass. And, you know, I live to see another day.
Yeah, for sure. Well, there's something about, like, the rearview mirror in my mind has only been for that avoidance thing. Like, this is how you know when shit's coming from behind you.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea that you can also use it as part of your communication strategy is fabulous.
Yeah,
I
to
love
use
that.
It proactively as opposed to reactively.
Yeah,
yeah, it's
yeah,
cool.
For sure.
Really intriguing.
I've actually added another mirror now. I have a bar-in mirror that I use,
okay.
too. And the more the better, you know?
It's yeah.
Like, it's great.
That's awesome.
It really helps. And I think even in this context, there's so many streets here in Portland that don't have bike lanes. Add a mirror, and then you can use that as a communication tool. If, you know, you can see when the cars start deviating into the lane to your left.
Yeah.
And if they don't, well, you have a little bit of warning time before you can get over to the right and get off the road.
Yeah, for sure. Nice. Aaron, do you have other tips, maybe for the moms out there that are interested but concerned?
I don't know. I think we definitely ride differently. I don't take the lane. I'm a little bit more conservative just because I don't know. I think it's definitely, well, it's different when I'm with Octave. I think
right.
I'm not really interested in like teaching somebody like the rules of the road or like this is my place. I'm more just like, I just want to get to where I'm going safely and that's it.
Fewer confrontations or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so, I mean, I just, kind of like Christopher was saying before, just picked, roads where I'm not, around very many cars or even like my commute to the grocery store is on a bike path. So
on the Platte.
Yeah.
So that's super convenient.
Again,
but,
love that thing.
Mm-hmm. It's great.
But, no, it's been so awesome. And I feel like, Octave used to absolutely hate her car seat and hate being in the car. And so this is so wonderful. Just have like a happy baby everywhere we go.
That's fantastic.
In the bike. So
it's worlds away from where you were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So my takeaway for this, for the moms, is if you want a happy baby,
yeah.
get them out of the car seat.
Yeah.
Put them in a bike.
Perfect.
Yes, that is perfect. Yeah.
Nice. Well, what is one thing that you can get in Casper that you can't get anywhere else? Not just bicycle
besides
necessarily.
Western wear?
Well, yeah. Besides that huge hat that I still want. What is something that you, when you think of Casper, you think of like, oh, this is what makes it distinctive for me?
You're going to struggle on that one.
Oh, it's okay. No worries.
Yeah. We'll edit out the silence.
No, it's okay. You guys never do that. I just want to say that every time you guys say, we'll edit that out, it never gets taken.
No. That's just because you don't notice the ones that we do, but it's all right. Yeah.
Well, still no. That Aaron's always, Aaron or Brandon are always in there saying, yeah, we'll edit that out.
I only edit the things that make me look bad, basically. That's my tack.
Well, you know, it is kind of a nice little city with a little bit of history, but they've traded their indigenous culture for kind of a methed out Walmart culture.
Okay.
And so it's not that there's nothing positive about it because there are a few small things. Like it does have a nice little community and, you know, the people that are there have been there for a long time and there's a lot of history, but it's not something that's very emphasized.
Uh-huh.
And there's not a lot of culture that we like.
Okay. Easy enough.
Yeah.
Or identify with, but
probably the one thing that you can't get anywhere else are the views.
The views are
yeah,
very good.
The
very
expansiveness
nice.
Up there is really cool, and it's cool to interact with the weather on that scale.
Uh-huh.
That's one thing that I've really appreciated because, you know, to ride in a 50-mile-an-hour headwind. And then
yeah.
to get to where you're going and just the feeling of accomplishment that you get from that.
It's like climbing a mountain.
It is. It absolutely is. I've climbed Hood and St. Helens and a couple other things. And it is that same feeling where the whole time I'm thinking, just keep pedaling, just keep pedaling, just keep pedaling. And seriously, when you climb Hood, that's what you're telling yourself.
Yeah.
Just like one foot in front of the other. Like
yeah.
just keep going. And you eventually get there and it's this feeling of accomplishment knowing that today I tested my mettle and this is what I'm made of. You know?
Seriously, yeah.
So I think that's probably my favorite part about Wyoming is interacting with the weather on that scale.
For sure.
I've never done that before.
You ever get the 50-mile tailwind?
I have had that.
Yeah.
And it is awesome. And when I went to a single speed, it was a little less awesome.
Okay.
When I had all the gears, man, I could just get flying. I could go 40 miles an hour.
I would imagine. Yeah.
Yeah, no problem. You know, loaded down with maybe 20 or 30 pounds.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
It was great. But it still is fun now. I mean, it's just, I go a lot slower.
Sure. Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
No. And I still get there at the same amount of time. That's what's weird.
Yeah.
Gears or single speed, yeah. It didn't change my commute time.
Yeah, I've noticed that actually riding my tall bike, because I've taken it to work a couple times. And like, I'm not significantly slower on the commute than I would be, you know, otherwise. A little slower.
One thing it did help, your food budget will go up when you start using the bicycle.
Yeah.
When I changed from gears to single speed, I ate a lot less.
Interesting.
Because I was working half as hard all the time. When I had gears, I was just like crazy fast, pedaling hard. I was always pedaling. I never coasted.
Yeah.
Something about the gears, though. Like, you want to go to the next gear.
If I can go that fast, I'm going to go that fast.
Right, which is a distinctive trademark. I'm not sure if you remember this from living in Portland or not, but it's a distinctive trademark of the commuting style here, is that everyone will be at the top of their gearing options and pushing as hard as they possibly can, which is why it can seem so competitive out here.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And if I had gears, I'd still be doing it. But when you limit yourself like that, it does force you to take little breaks and you don't eat as much.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and it, I don't know, like a shot to the ego probably for me. I would see it much less as a race and more as a, hey, I'm moving.
I'm just going from point A to point B.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
One of the things I love, especially on a long, if you have a long commute, I listen to a ridiculous amount of podcasts.
Yeah.
I have speakers on my bike, and I absolutely love it. If I didn't have that, I would be way less motivated.
How is the speakers on the bike as opposed to, cause I'll ride with like one earbud in my right ear, leaving the left one open to traffic. But
yeah,
the speakers on the bike, like I always like discount that thinking like wind or just noise. Like I would be constantly competing with that.
Not really. I got a cheap, like $20 bike speaker off Amazon.
Okay.
And it works excellent. It's loud enough for me to hear over like 50 mile an hour winds.
Yeah, yeah.
And traffic and all that stuff.
That's
saying
a lot.
It's really nice. And it's fun when you ride with other people. Like when I ride with our daughter, Octave, I'll just strap on some tunes, man.
There you go.
And we'll rock and roll. And she loves it.
Yeah. That's fantastic. What's her favorite music of choice?
She likes rock and roll.
Uh-huh. It's whatever you're listening to at the time.
Yeah. We really...
Who was it when she was first born that she...
Well, the cool kids. We listen to the cool kids a lot. We love hip hop.
Yeah. Nice.
And I've been listening to Deltron's new record, The Event 2. Have you guys heard that?
I have not.
I listened to that during the snowstorm. It's like a post-apocalyptic hip hop.
Okay.
It's this side project Del has. And it was so perfect. You know, 30 mile an hour winds, snow's coming down. And he's rapping about the end of the world and the year 3030.
That's beautiful.
Oh, it was awesome.
Nice.
In bad weather, I either listen to metal or hip hop, basically.
There we go. Yeah.
Need something that's aggressive.
Something that powers you through it.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, is there anything else you guys want to tack on before we wrap up?
No. Basically, if you're in a rural context and you don't think it's at all possible to go by bike, maybe take a trip.
Try it out.
Yeah, try it out. Take a trip to a store, to the grocery store, or... you know, your religious establishment or something like that, or to a friend's house. Try it out. It's a lot easier than most people think.
Yeah.
And in Casper, it's a lot more doable than anybody gives it credit for. It's nice. Really not that
hard. Yeah, I think that's been probably the most encouraging part of our struggle the last few years is that we were just waiting to get back to really Portland because that's where this is where we want to be, but
yeah, and where you're from,
and this
so.
Is where I'm from, and you know, all my family's here and good friends, so we kind of felt like we were waiting to live our life. Well, it can only happen when we're back in Portland. There's infrastructure and there's community support, and while those things make it way easier, I think we've just been super encouraged that it's not always easy but totally possible, like no matter where you live, like you can.
And there's support like this, like the podcast. I listen to this on the way back and forth to work, and it really helps encourage me. You know, you hear people's stories. Same thing with the bike commuting subreddit.
Yeah.
There's some of us on Facebook that send messages back and forth. And I think that's it, just trying to build that community where you are, finding the other folks in your city who may agree with you and you had no idea they were there.
Totally. Know. Find people you want to be like and hang out with them.
Sure.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, that's a good place, I think, to wrap it up. Thank you so much for coming out, you guys. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, thank
Christopher,
you.
Aaron.
Really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Your story
us.
Is very inspiring, and we wish you the best of continued success.
And please, have some banana bread.
Seriously, yeah.
I'm ready.
Along with that banana bread, you know what else is coming up? This. This.
We got mail. Hey, we got mail.
That's right.
We don't have mail because I didn't have the Google Drive up.
Oh, it's so okay. I've got it here. You want me to read
second.
It?
Sure.
Okay.
You can start.
Just one listener, Rob, wrote in this week and said, great show, speaking of last week with Franklin Jones. And interesting guest. I really enjoyed the conversation on world travel. I myself have been a commuter, sigh of resignation, for years. Now the only way to get that holy smokes I'm on a bike feeling is to have a Vietnamese passenger bus run me off the road while waving their, or no. While having their novelty horn blow out my eardrums. So that said, I really think everyone can bike world travel tour and everyone should try it. In order to experience kindness of a place, you must open yourself up to all possibilities, and cycle is a great way to do that. Also, it will change your perspective for sure. P.S. What brand of leather wax did your commenter use to waterproof his shoes? I have a pair of Clark's TM desert boots, and they suck in the rain. Any advice for making them more watertight would be nice. And I think Johnny K was the one that was talking about boots. I think, unless it was somebody else. But I don't know what kind of wax they use. So if you're listening and that was you, help us out.
No, I believe it was Johnny K.
Okay. See the comment section.
So, yeah, it was our episode of Riding in the Rain.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah. So,
yeah.
Thanks, Rob. Much appreciated. And thanks to all the rest of you out there that are listening. We really, it means a lot to us, means a ton. All those comments, emails, that sort of thing. Stay in touch. Let us know what you're up to. And if you have a story, like Christopher and Aaron do, like anybody else does, get in touch. We'll get in touch. I believe, who was it? The guy from the Sunrise Bike Club really wants to tell us about the Sunrise Bike Club. So we're going to do that sometime soon as well.
Awesome, because I've never heard of that before.
Yeah, yeah. Apparently you get up early and make coffee and drink it, which is a good idea. That's what I do almost. Yeah, I try and do that on a regular basis.
Hey, I do that every day.
Seriously, yeah, yeah. I never ride my bike to the place where I get coffee. I have it at home. So this would be novel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, Sean Granton's coming up. Pretty soon.
Oh, great.
In the next couple of weeks, he's going to tell us about all of his adventures, which have been ridiculously awesome.
I've run into him a couple times
now. Oh, yeah?
I'm glad he's finally getting in touch with us.
He had a great spate of awesome rides that he led in Portland over the past month or two.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't get to attend any of them, but yeah. And Michael Tetta from Community Cycling Center. That's also coming
up
soon. So
yes.
Yeah.
Is Rob guesting on
and
that?
And Rob Sadowski from the BTA.
Excellent.
So yeah, we got a bunch of cool folks coming up and all that and more. Well, hey, I should give you a piece of paper so you can do the credits.
Yeah, I should do it for real this time. Find us on the internet at thesprocketpodcast.com. Send feedback about the program and suggestions for topics and or guests. And or drinks. Write to us via email. The address is thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com. Or you can call and leave us a message at 503-847-9774. You can also text us to that number.
That's right.
Connect with us on Twitter at Sprocket Podcast. Thanks to Ryan J. Lane for providing our theme music. Find him on the internet at ryanjlane.bandcamp.com. Thanks to Hurtbird for our headline sounder, even though we didn't use it. Find them at hurtbirdmusic.com.
That creme brulee is amazing.
Brush your teeth.
That's right. Especially after creme brulee. See, this is the sort of thing we edit. We also edit that.
I was expressly told to tell you.
Oh, sorry about that.
I didn't tell you about that yet. So,
okay.
That's on me.
All right. Hang on. Let me cue this music up. Since I'm going to be doing some editing, I'll just be really, really casual about this.
So you do editing.
Yeah. We try. We give it the appearance. We don't edit the awkward shit. We try and keep that stuff in.
Most times we do.
Yeah. All right.